get ready. It's time to surround yourself with some of the best attractions Central Florida has to offer. It's time for the Central Florida Sights and Sounds Podcast with your hosts, John and Anne Marie Carigliano.
To all who come to this happy place, welcome.
Welcome to our family time. Welcome to our brotherly time. We're happy giving a take to the friends we're making. There's nothing we won't do. Welcome to our family time. Welcome to our happy time. This is a festival. You know the festival. We're here to share it all.
Welcome to Season 9, Episode 15 of the Central Florida Sights and Sounds Podcast, bringing you the sights and sounds of Central Florida's world-class attractions and beyond. And I'm your host, John Carigliano. And of course, here's my wonderful wife, Miss Anne Marie.
Hi.
Well, we are doing something special. We're not doing any theme parks this week. Anne Marie, what are we doing?
MegaCon!
As you blasted everyone's eardrums with that.
Sorry, headphone
wears. Yes, that's right. We are doing MegaCon. That's the first time we're actually doing MegaCon on this show. Primarily, this show is going to be more centered around Anne Marie. So Anne Marie, as I pass the mic to you, tell our lovely listeners what they're going to be listening to on this week's show.
So this panel was from Sunday morning, and I got the notice on the MegaCon app that a Clone Wars reunion panel was starting in 30 minutes. So I would tell John, I was like, I want to go to this. And he's like, no, we have to wait for the Transformers. I was like, well, I'm going to go for this. John hasn't watched any of the Clone Wars or Rebels. He did watch Ahsoka with me, the live action show, but he's never watched any of the animated programs that Disney had put out.
Except the motion picture.
The motion picture?
Yes, episode 2. The Clone Wars. That's it.
That was Attack of the Clones.
Oh, whoops.
So, I moseyed my way up to the Clone Wars reunion panel where there was four people. Matt Lanter, who played Anakin. Ashley Eckstein, who played Ahsoka Tano. James Arnold Taylor, who played Obi-Wan Kenobi, and D. Bradley Baker, who played literally every clone. And these are the four of them talking about their time on the show and a couple of questions from the audience.
Let's get to that audio.
Wow. Yeah, I know we can't see. Can they turn those up just for a second so we can see all of you?
Yeah, we can't see the back.
Because there's no one back. Oh, there is. Look at you. Oh, there.
That's a lot of people out there.
There's a baby. Way back.
Baby.
That was very Simba-like.
All of this will be yours one day.
So how has the weekend been for the four of you? Has it been kind of this like celebration of 15 years of the Clone Wars, if my math is right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
It has been a big celebration. And celebrations have been on this stage before. How many were at celebrations before? It's like old times, but this is your stomping ground here.
This is. I am so proud to be from Orlando, Florida. This is my hometown con, and I'm so proud of it. I literally grew up 10 minutes down the road from here. And look at you now.
Ashley told me Disney, Orlando, and all things this area are her love language.
It is. It is. Disney magic is my love language. Happy to have my boys here.
You're.
Yeah, I worked here half my life ago, doing lots of different shows, and in a way, it was a training ground for me because my first gig was a television series called Legends of the Hidden Temple. The gig was to do all these different voices, and I had to keep all these voices very, very different. So here I am with Clone Wars, with essentially the same mission, just a different tone to it a little bit.
So I have a very selfish question as a Clone Wars fan, and I know this is probably not easy to answer, but I'm going to ask anyway. So of all of the, like, impactful, iconic moments that you have been a part of in the Star Wars saga, do you have a favorite?
We all have different favorites, I think.
Yeah. So, like, whatever arc, beat, moment your character got to play, do you have a favorite?
Well, okay, I'm asked this question a lot, and
Here we go.
It's not that deep, Matt. my favorite Ahsoka moment is when she walks away from the Jedi Order at the end of season 5. So, for her personally, I think that moment is such a pivotal moment in her storyline. But for Star Wars, I think the Ahsoka-Vader duel in Star Wars Rebels.
It was so short, but like the meaning behind it was just so heartbreaking.
Yes. So can I tell a little secret I haven't told before? Well, it's not really a secret.
Are we announcing a new show?
But I don't even know. But I haven't even told y'all this. So I just launched a new collection. Getting undressed, but here, let me show. Hold on. So this shirt I'm wearing is part of a new I Am No Jedi collection that just launched at Disney Parks. But this is a script page.
How did you get to do
that? That's what I haven't told y'all yet. Okay, so I'm probably breaking some sort of NDA by sharing this.
All right, nobody's filming this right now.
Yeah. But, you know, I...
Massive camera right there.
I had the idea, at these cons, I realized, I'm like, what's a collectible that you all don't have that we have access to? And I got to thinking about our scripts. And I'm like, wow, the fans have never seen our scripts. And they're really cool. But for us, when we were recording Clone Wars, our scripts were taken away from us. And so we don't even have them. Like literally as they were FedEx to us or given to us as we entered the room. And then when we left, they were taken away. Well, for some of the later episodes, seasons and
You stole series. It.
No, I did not. But they were emailed to us, very strictly password protected. So I decided to do a little email search and found the episode Twilight of the Apprentice. And I was like, let me just test this out. And found our script. And then found the script page of this scene where Ahsoka and Vader duel. And so I was like, let's turn this into a collection. And so this is the actual script page that we recorded off of. So yes, hopefully, I mean, I'm not in trouble by that, but there's, y'all have seen it, it's long gone. But yes, yeah, so long story short of answering your question, I think for the overall Star Wars story,
I'm getting a call from Dave Filoni.
The Ahsoka Vader duel is pretty, impactful.
Yeah. I'm partial to the Duchess of Tea. So those stories always meant a lot to me. And The Lawless is, everybody asks what's your favorite. I say The Lawless because it's my least favorite and my most favorite because it's beautiful, it's tragic, and it's so important to Obi-Wan's storyline and so bittersweet. And I did not, speaking of what Ashley's talking about, literally that day I walked in, had no idea. And I did not know, spoiler alert, sorry. I didn't know until the direction in it said, what happens? So you hear Obi-Wan will say this, he says, Satine, under his breath. That was me reading. And no, Satine. And they used that. It's really cool, you know, that they took all those little moments because I was as shocked as everybody else. Anna Graves knew, but I did not know what was gonna happen to her. Maul. What a poop.
I'm partial myself, just selfishly, to the sacrifice of clones, the heroic sacrifices that they go through, and to choose just one, it's hard not to choose the death of Fives. And he made it that close, and he almost made it, and it's just the saddest Star Wars moment to me of all, and it's so heartbreaking. But the other two, I gotta throw in the sacrifice of 99. Yeah. And more recently, the sacrifice of tech. And I. It's been a year of grief counseling.
Too soon.
I'm available for grief counseling all day. All right. the clones aside, I'm gonna throw out that I was really excited when Darth Vader reappeared in Rebels, and just how frightening and formidable that guy appeared. I found that really exciting. I loved that moment.
That's the Mad Lantern experience.
Man, not impressed.
That's like the nicest guy. Matt, how about you? Is it the Ahsoka Vader?
Yeah, I think the Ahsoka Vader thing, just because of what that means and the history that those two have, to see them squaring off, and he's so gone. And the moment where he says Ahsoka, it's a kind of a fun, like, nerdy debate. Was he actually sort of reaching out and saying that as Anakin, or was he almost baiting her as Vader, because he's just completely gone, to kind of, let her guard down, and then...
What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. Somebody asked this, actually, and I wasn't sure. I don't know, maybe I lean a little bit more, I want to believe there's good, but I don't know. He was just so clouded at that moment that it might have been baiting her. Sorry.
So we have, about 1,000 people in this room, all of whom are massive Clone Wars fans, I'm sure. And some of whom maybe would like to ask you guys some questions. So for all of you in the audience, we've got one mic on this side and one mic on that side. And just so we can get through as many as possible, just let's keep them brief, let's keep them cool, chill.
Extra points if it's a new question we've never heard before.
That's right.
And I see a couple people, as you're lining up, holding posters.
Yeah.
We want to make sure everyone gets one. It's our gift to you. It says on the bottom, it says loyalty means everything. And that's from the line, loyalty means everything to the clones, but it means everything to us. So thank you for your support over the past 15 plus years. That original art that we teamed up with Danny Haas to do just for you. So thank you so much.
Why don't we start, I'm starting on the right, Alvin, why don't we start on the left?
How we doing? It's good to see you all. I just wanted to thank Ashley again, real quick, for recording just a little minute video of some advice to my middle school students I teach yesterday. I can't wait to show some of them. And so it's been 15 years and, you know, I grew up with Clone Wars and now I'm teaching a group of students that are 12, 13, and it's a whole new generation of fans that are growing up with Clone Wars. So I would just love to hear you guys reflect on that and then like what that means to you. And then also looking 15, 20 years in the future, what do you hope the legacy of Clone Wars is for even more generations to come?
Gosh, yeah.
Not a loaded question at all, I'm sorry.
Take your time, we're gonna be here a while.
Yeah, I mean, 15 years, well, okay, let me look at this just from an Anakin perspective. I haven't seen all of the series of Ahsoka, but I know what's in there. And I think it's such an honor that some of the Clone Wars material is now being used to shape that character for the future. Live action. So, you know, as a contribution of that, you know, that's really an honor to be helping shape the character for what's to come for Anakin. Hopefully, we see more of that character. I would love that. But yeah, so in the next 15 years, I love that the Clone Wars filled in so many gaps for so many people on a character level, on a story level, and, you know, all kinds of stuff, so.
20 years, we're gonna be wheeled out on the stage.
Bradley Baker. I remember when Corey Burton said that. I'm done talking. Hello, that's guys. Hello there?
It's hello there.
Oh.
But every time I tell you.
What?
But it's hello there.
What?
There.
Where?
Can I have a pencil to write it down for James? This will be this will be our glory in 2 or 3 decades. We're never going to stop this. Yeah, I mean, the love of these stories, I don't think it's ever going to wane. I think it's going to continue to grow and to build, and it's a wonderful thing to be a part of that. And I can't see that doing anything but continuing to blossom well into the future, just many, many years coming.
And one thing I'll share, specifically about Ahsoka, because I've had this conversation with a couple of you. What many of you might not realize, and I didn't realize at first, is that Ahsoka is meant to be the eyes of the audience. So you are meant to experience the Clone Wars through Ahsoka's eyes. And that's why we all feel so connected to her. Because as we're watching this war play out, we're seeing loss, we're seeing failure, we're seeing hope, we're grieving through with Ahsoka through her eyes. And so that's why there's such a deep emotional connection. And that's also why I say Ahsoka lives in all of us now, because it has been an entire generation. And we feel fortunate that Clone Wars has been the Star Wars for an entire generation, because really, you know, the lessons that we learn from Star Wars are so beautiful and life-changing. And there's going to be, we're already watching it, The Mandalorian. There's the next round of stories, the next generation of stories, where that generation, that's going to be their Star Wars. And so it's going to continue, you know, what is that next generation of Star Wars? And we're very grateful that we got to continue the Star Wars stories for a whole generation of fans.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a friend of mine, Sohei, he's a podcaster, blogger and such. And back when we were making this, he said, you know, 10 years from now, kids are gonna say, I grew up with this and it changed the face of animation. And it did. Now we are 15 years later, it changed the face of animation. They created different ways to animate things for this because George Lucas had the ability to do that. And now all these shows are different because of Clone Wars. And so it has changed the face of all of it. And I'm just so grateful because when I was a kid and I watched everything from, you know, Bugs Bunny and all of that, what's up, Doc? And that was changing my world. And you're going, hello there. And that's changing your world because we're all affected by this in a positive way. So it's wonderful. It's a great honor to be a part of it.
Thank you, guys.
We'll now transition to yes, no questions only.
I hate to break it to you, but it's going to be more than that for me. But I wanted to start by saying thank you so much for the hard work and determination and perseverance you all have had for these characters that, as I speak for a lot of people here, that have been truly life-changing for us and have changed the way that we view the world. But my question is, it's a unique opportunity to have all of you here together, and I think that's one of the things that makes your characters so amazing beyond their individual strengths is the strength of your group. What do you think is the most defining characteristic or favorite characteristic that you have? You mentioned loyalty means everything, but I want to hear from you guys what you think on that.
We are a family. I mean, we really are a family. We contact each other.
We're an ensemble.
All the time. Holidays and all our families are up there together.
We really love each other, even though we're like sitting like this on the couch. It's really like, you know, we like being close.
We all live in the same house together.
Quick, take your pictures.
Yeah, I think, well, when you had that poster made with Danny and I saw that line, I thought, well, that's like our line. You know, it's not, but it's from the show. So yeah, I think there's a blend there. It's, you know, except for the, you know, the bad Anakin stuff. We're all like our characters. I think we try to be. Yeah.
Sometimes I'm like bad Anakin.
I know. Are you sitting in sand?
Thank you.
I hate sand.
So I have a question, but first I wanted to say I really appreciate about Clone Wars how much you guys are able to just tell this beautiful story between episode 2 and episode 3 and beyond. And that's just something I always really appreciated about Clone Wars. It just adds so much depth to those movies as well. So thank you for doing that. But my question is for Dee Bradley Baker, aka Rex, Cody, everyone.
And a lot more.
May he rest in peace, maybe. So my question for you,
the play... The help scream in the background every time you say Tech's name.
So you play a lot of different characters, and that's fascinating to me. So what are some things that you do to be able to play such a variety of different characters that are all the same person? Like, how do you do that? How's that been for you?
Well, voice actors are, it's really the DNA of our job is to be able to switch from character to character. Most any animation gig that you have, you're gonna be probably doing two or three voices. And that really comes down to the specificity of imagination. And then, and also having a grasp of sort of the inner palette of voices that are within you. We all contain multitudes within us. And that is our job to sort of gain control of that and awareness of that so that we can regulate it and let those jump out as whole defined characters. And the longer you work, the more you get used to this. So it's just easy. You're just jumping from one to the other because the thing that makes it seem like a magic trick is it's coming out of a single human. But as the actor, you see these characters as their own individual entities. And you just snap from one to the other like you're throwing a switch. And it looks like a magic trick, but it feels easy to do once you have that kind of facility.
It's like being...
If you're D. Bradley Baker.
What is he talking
Man, there's
about?
So much science to it. I just think of the one and then it comes out.
Yeah, well, it's intuitive, ultimately. It is. It's ultimately an intuitive thing. But it's you kind of work out at the gym of being an actor and of improvisation, and you just kind of develop those muscles so that it's an easy, instantaneous jump from one to the other. That's how it plays out for me.
Thank you. Thank you all for being out here this weekend. My question for all of you, you're all very talented actors, not just in Star Wars, but in other roles as well. Is there anything, any particular lessons you feel you learned during your time at Clone Wars that has helped you in all of your different acting roles?
How about you two? Because you're on camera actors and then go into voiceover and then on camera back and forth. Does it help with that?
Yeah, sure. I feel like exercising the voice acting really helps you gain and control your voice on camera and what subtleties and fluctuation, volume, and other things that normally pertain to voice acting can do for a character on camera. It means a lot. So yeah, that's a big thing that I feel like I've gotten to work on.
The thing for me that was absolutely terrifying, and I'm not gonna go back to the early days and share the stories I remember, you know, standing in front of D. Bradley Baker, who is just a veteran in our field. And the hardest part was having to make all the sounds for when you're fighting or a falling.
And then when he would go, when you do it.
I wasn't very supportive.
He was. Sorry. He was. It was just terrifying because they're so good at what they do. And, you know, when you're a live action actor, which Matt and I, pretty much all of our work was live action. If you are fighting, you're really fighting. You're not standing behind a microphone keeping your face still. And so I'll never forget when Dave Filoni, it was early on, I forget which episode, it might have been the Geonosian Queen episode, which Dee was just so brilliant in. But Dave said, okay, Ashley, Ahsoka gets picked up by this giant bug thing, flown across the I don't, it wasn't even a room, but cavern or whatever it was, dropped, you know, 50 feet, or, you know, then she rolls three times and hits the wall, go. What does that sound like? And you have to do it, and you have to get it right within like three takes. Mm. And so it was terrifying, but you had to learn to be like, don't be afraid to look silly and just go for it.
That felt like a 40-foot fall. I'm looking for a 50-foot fall. So if we can just... And take two.
Uh-oh, I only got three takes.
Thank you.
Hi,
it's nice to talk to all of you. I really appreciate, again, the gift you gave us all. My question for all of you, over the course of the Clone Wars and Rebels and even Tales of the Jedi, there's great writers and directors, so when you're recording, there's a script, but with your understanding of the characters and your professionals you've trained in your craft, have you been able to influence your characters, maybe through your performance, or have writers kind of bounced off of your performance, and what was some of that we saw in the finished product?
Yeah, I mean, I would say as a voice actor, as a creative person, you don't come to the table as a passive entity. You come with active ideas, and often there's pushback, especially with a character that you've helped establish or that has a legacy of seasons behind you in terms of what this character might say or might do and that may vary from the script itself. So that's part of our job, is to offer our opinion on that and to maybe try to make the case, but work that out with whoever's writing and directing us. So it's a collaborative effort. I mean, for the most part, what you see is what was written, but we're adding seasoning to that, and sometimes we do work over scenes to make sure that we hone that just right, and that may end up being a little bit different from how it was originally written.
I feel like that's something that Dave Filoni was always very encouraging of all of us, especially as we got into our seasons, is he would say, like, please, I encourage you to breathe, make sounds, say it like you feel like Anakin would say it, or, you know, what sounds better to you, what do you think should be said? And I mean, I feel like he really gave us a lot of trust, and it was a very collaborative effort.
Yeah, he, you know, we'd have these little things where would Obi-Wan say something like that, and he'd go, Kenobi it up, James, do a little Kenobi thing. And so, you know, but there was one time I remember we did where Obi-Wan said, you lie, I think, to Darth Maul. You lie. And I thought it sounded weird, like, uh-uh. And I said to Dave, I'm like, it just doesn't sound right. He goes, just read it. And I'm like, okay. No, so we went back and forth on that. And we tried to find the balance to where it's still Obi-Wan, but it's also what's written on the page. And most of the time, though, it'd be like, yeah, just change it. Just say it how you want to say it. But I think we all have that freedom.
Yeah, and that's why I hope we can share, you know, now that they're out there, more of our scripts, because while we didn't write the show, we absolutely had leeway to how we say it, and Dave was always, he wanted us to give our own interpretation, but oftentimes what it would say in the description, like the stage directions, or, you know, it says, Ahsoka furiously says, half the time he's like, no, don't pay attention to that. You know, what do you think it would sound like? How would your character say it? And so, yeah, that's where there's a big difference between what the writers write, but then how it's performed.
The words in a script are more the vehicle, but they're not the destination.
Wow, he's so just like, oh,
we're
before lunchtime.
Man, I'm learning so much.
Here on the Actors Studio.
But you steer it in the place that it needs to go. But it's not, the vehicle is not the destination. The words are not the destination.
I sense a new t-shirt.
I love it. Which, this is a total shameless plug, but you are wearing our Captain Rex sweatshirt. And her universe is here, right across from our autograph tables. And there's a lot of Clone Wars merch. Like, for example, our 50th anniversary jacket. So definitely check it out, because there's stuff for all of our characters.
On the right, go ahead.
I have a question for Dee Bradley Baker.
Yes.
So you've brought so many different clones to life and give them distinct personalities and characteristics. Do you personally have a favorite clone?
Well, look, I would say that I'm probably closest to 99 and Tech. I mean, I relate to those two the most. Not just vocally, but also just I feel a bit of an underdog and an outsider, and always have. Because most of the clones, they're so physically capable and able that I don't relate to them as much. But each one contains this kind of aspirational heroism for me, that they're just such great guys, almost all of them anyway, and I wish that I were them. I wish that I could be them. I really wish I were Wrecker. I want to be Wrecker. I'm probably the furthest from Wrecker, but this kind of simple joy and innocence and sense of fun that he has in the face of change or danger is really cool. So I really admire him a lot.
Thank you.
Hello, Ashley, Matt, Dee, nice to meet you. James, nice to see you again after 2 years. So, my question is, when you got the script for the episode Deception, what was your reaction to Obi-Wan faking his death to perform an inside job?
I'll tell you, what was your reaction?
If the camera's rolling.
I thought it was really cool. One cool thing that happened with that is Rako Hardeen. And again, we got the script the day of. I remember Dee and I had a lot of lines in that one. And we get the script, and we're looking through, and I'm going, okay, well, where's Obi-Wan? Oh, he's dead? Oh, he's not dead. Oh, I'm Rako Hardeen. I am Rako Hardeen.
And so then you have a moment where you actually thought, oh, they've killed Obi-Wan.
I did. How did they do that? But the voice of Rako Hardeen was great because George Lucas said he didn't want it to be me. And Dave said, that's okay, I still want you to do it. Let's just go ahead. It's my Dave.
Your Dave Filoni sounds like Truman Capote.
With a little David Spade. But, so, I
killed Obi-Wan Kenobi. I did this Rako Hardeen voice.
And he said, okay, I know he can do that.
So I did all these lines like that.
And then they played it for George, and they said, what do you think? He said, all right, it's great. Yeah, who's that? That's great. So Dave Filoni and George Lucas are sitting there talking. Yeah, it's great. Anyways, so no, but I loved the challenge was, how do you make Rako Hardeen sound like Obi-Wan Kenobi when he would call and say, this is Ben?
So he said, this is Ben. But I was thinking in my head, this is Ben. So it came out, this is Ben. And I still had kind of an accent, but not really an accent. It's very complex.
And when I got that little spider went down my throat and all of that, that was really fun too, because I did all that.
Thank you. And love the Johnny Test shirt, James.
It's totally awesome, right? So Johnny Test is totally awesome. That's another offer. There you go. Had my time in the sun.
Good. Hi. Ashley, I just want to start by saying thank you for all you do for the mental health community. I actually work as a crisis counselor with kids, so there's a lot of times that I can use lessons learned from Clone Wars to connect with kiddos that I work with. So I wanted to know what your guys' favorite lesson learned or mental health tidbit is that your character learned throughout Clone Wars, Rebels,
I don't know if I should be commenting on that.
Bit of a cautionary tale.
Leave me out of this one.
Well, I'll start. Y'all can think. First of all, thank you. And thank you for what you do. Ahsoka lives in you. My favorite Ahsoka line is from the final season of Clone Wars, where she says, in my life, when you find people who need your help, you help them, no matter what. I guess it's just who I am. And when Ahsoka said that line, when Ahsoka said that line, she was lost. She had walked away from the Jedi Order, walked away from everything that she knew. She had been betrayed. All of her, everything that she thought she knew was false, and she just was lost and broken. And she didn't know where she was going, and she found herself again by helping others. And I often say, and my parents taught me this, Mama and Papa Tano are there. As well as my sister, who has been helping me out at my table. Her name is Tara, so we call her Tara Tano. My mom always taught me that the quickest way to help yourself is to help others. And so if you are going through a hard time, just like Ahsoka, help others. And by helping others, you're going to help yourself.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that panel as much as I did. It was very good to hear all of their stories and everything that they went through during the show. And when we walked in, they gave us, as Ashley, I believe, was saying, they gave us a very nice print of their characters. It's gorgeous. And it was also very nice to hear James Arnold Taylor again, because we haven't heard him since Star Wars Weekends, which is almost 10 years ago, which was the last one. And it was also nice that they, both him and Dee Bradley Baker, kind of broke into some of their characters, their iconic voices, which was cool to hear. And I'm lost. I don't know what else to say.
Well, we are definitely glad that you did go to this panel, especially since you were very interested and watched the show and you invest in these characters. So it was kind of nice to have them back up on stage in this nice little mini reunion, mini Star Wars Weekends-esque type of deal. And also, it's always great to hear James Arnold Taylor. He's does always a great, you know, spot on Obi-Wan. Because he kind of channels Ewan McGregor a little bit.
I feel like he had one of the hardest jobs on Clone Wars, because not only did he have to, like, kind of make the character of Obi-Wan his own, but he also had to imitate Ewan McGregor's voice.
Which is not easy to do.
And even Dee Bradley Baker, because he played the clones, which was played by Tamara Morrison, he didn't have very many lines, but still, he had to make so many different clones different, so they weren't just all the same voice. You know, they all kind of have their own little flavor.
But all in all, really, really good job. Emery, really great job on recording this entire panel. We will have video up of this up on our YouTube channel.
My arm hurt.
Someone didn't have my new camera, so they had to do it the old-fashioned way of phone. But again, came out really good. So that'll do it for this week's show. Don't forget, you can visit us at cfses.com, where you can email the show. You can follow us on X at Central FLSAS. Same with Blue Sky. And believe it or not, you do not need an invite for Blue Sky anymore. It is completely open, and they've completely redesigned their app. So it is a lot smoother now. It kind of reminds me of old Twitter. So if you're on Blue Sky, feel free to follow us at Central FLSAS. We're on there. And don't forget to subscribe to us up on our YouTube channel. We actually did a small short when we were at MegaCon with the Dalek Builders. And believe it or not, we did that entire, edited that whole entire short at the convention, which, if you couldn't already tell how excited I've been getting an iPad Pro, yeah, the fact that I don't have to be tethered to a desktop computer anymore and I can edit basically wherever is very liberating, I guess you could say, in a sense. But on next week's show, we're going to be doing another panel, which will be the Transformers panel that Anne-Marie filmed. No? Oh.
We're still surprised that John survived.
Yes. but it's the panel with Peter Cullen and Frank Welker, so I'm definitely excited to share that with you.
And if you don't care that they're the Transformers, that Peter Cullen is also Eeyore, which is fun, and Frank Welker has done, like, literally everything. Like, everything.
He's voiced your childhood. But one of the big things, Baby Kermit from Muppet Babies. He did Fred from Scooby-Doo. He's done Scooby.
The Real Ghostbusters.
He did Ray from The Real Ghostbusters. A whole lot of other characters. Just Wikipedia him, and you'll see every character he's ever done. But thank you so much, everyone, for tuning into our lovely, lovely show and episode this week. Until next time, say goodbye, Emery.
Goodbye, Emery.
And so long, have a magical week, everybody.
Ohana means family. Family means nobody
gets left behind
or forgotten.